1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul's talking about there is that we cannot build on any other relationship other than our relationship with Jesus. This verse is talking about our relationship with Jesus and His with us. But that's what we're building on. That everyday relationship that we have with Him, we have been reconciled. Amen? In other words, we've been made friends with. We were enemies. Now God says, you're my friend. And that is through what Jesus did. Through the cross, through His death, burial, resurrection. That had been accomplished because God could not lower His righteous standard to come down to our level. The only way that we can have fellowship with the Father, the only way that you can enter heaven, the only way you can come into the presence of the Father is that you're as righteous as Jesus is. That He views us as having done everything necessary, because Jesus did it for us and we're in Him. How are we in Him? By faith. You say, well, how does that work by faith? God said we were. Amen? It's not something I do to stay in Him. It's what He said and I believe it. And as you begin, and as you believe it, you start to experience the manifestation of it. What does that mean, manifestation? I begin to experience it in this realm. I begin to see things happen. I begin to have things happen. I begin to see the grace of God working. Amen? However, it's extremely important that everyone check their foundation. Because the foundation is what we build on. The foundation is what supports our building. You take the foundation out and the building will fall. Amen? So what am I building my life on? What are we building our life on? On the foundation of Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. He's talking about here the person of Jesus. Now, why is he bringing this up? Because he had a problem in Corinth. They were following after Apollos. They were following after Paul himself. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Jesus even. I'm of Christ. They're the most dangerous ones that say, I'm only of Christ. Say, well, why is that? It's because those are the ones that go out there alone and get picked off by the devil in record time. Because they're the ones who say, I have no need of the body. Have no need of one another. Now, those that say, I'm of Apollos, you say, well, how does that pertain today? Has anybody ever heard of a denomination? Denominations are okay. Denominationalism's bad. Anything that has ism at the end of it is bad. Ism, bad. It's man-made. Socialism. Capitalism. Denominationalism. All bad. Because man made it. Amen? So, what happened was they started to follow after. Now, how does this pertain to us? Are you following after a particular teaching? Are you grace-only person? Are you word-of-faith person only? Are you of so-and-so? Well, Paul says when you do that, you are carnal. You are living like mere human unsaved being. You mean that can happen to born-again believers who are even baptized in the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. It can happen. Because one of the things that happens is you begin to separate yourself from the others. And so there's revelation and there's knowledge of the Word and there's anointing all around that we now exclude ourselves from. Anything that divides is designed to weaken. Jesus said a house cannot stand when it's divided. Now, look at this in 1 Corinthians and look back to chapter 1. And this is what's so devastating about this. Okay? That Paul is, first of all, amazed that it's there. Chloe's household, which we assume was a household church that Paul had established, they took 6 months to travel to Paul to report to him there's divisions in the church. He said, I can hardly believe that. But I do believe it in part. Now, that was a life-threatening journey back then. You didn't travel around without your life being in danger. Okay? They walked, they rode horses, rode donkeys. It wasn't like we get on the plane and we're complaining because it's 15 minutes late. They didn't know when they were going to arrive at their destination. So Chloe's household goes, says, we got a huge problem. Now, the whole two letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Paul is constantly dealing with this problem. He's constantly having to address it. This carnality, this division, this allegiance to one man, one woman. And the fact that they were not building on the relationship with Jesus and that Jesus is the foundation. So that no matter what happens, no matter what occurs in the circumstances, I can go on. Because my relationship with Jesus never changes. Amen? Now, one of the things that's crucial is that Paul makes the statement that I could not tell you, have you received the things that were freely given to you. In other words, they were unable to receive from the Holy Spirit everything that Jesus had done for them freely. So that negated that. In other words, that was preempted. Now they were in a position. What does the Bible refer to as mere men or living like an unsaved person, even though you're born again, even though you have received these things, right? What does that mean? It means you're not in a position to receive what the grace of God got for you. Freely given and grace, same thing. Now, how would it be if you're in a position where you're unable to receive what has been freely given to you? Here's what happens first. You begin to try to earn it. I don't have it. So now what do I got to do to get it? Well, gee whiz, I better do what Apollos said. Well, gee whiz, I better do what Paul said. Well, I better do what Cephas, who's Peter, what he said. I better go to Peter, Cephas, and I better ask him, what should I do? Now, Jesus is over here. Apollos, Paul, Cephas, you name it, they're over there. I'm here. If I don't know what's freely given to me here, then I let him stand there, kind of like this. I go over here to find out what to do. If I go to Jesus, and I know his wisdom's been freely given to me, if I know that he holds nothing back that's good for me, and Jesus says, go over to Peter. He's got the answer for you. Or I'm not receiving what's freely given to me, and I'm in a position now where I'm using my own wisdom. Gee whiz, Peter knows a lot of things. Certainly Paul does. Look at the letters he wrote. I better go over here to him. Do you know how many people do things and try things and try to walk in things that they do that because they heard somebody teach it and it worked for them? And then they hear this. Well, what God did for them, he'll do for you. Well, gee whiz, God gave them the best jet ever. Where's my jet? How many of you know that when God supplies us, and Jeff was singing there, he supplies us for every good work? Now, I want you to put your finger right here and say, I'm a good work. Amen. So, what foundation are you building on? What foundation have you been building on? Do you understand? My foundation that I build on is Jesus and what he's saying. All right? What he's saying. How many of you know it's not the same for everybody, what he says? That's the beauty of it. Understand something. The kingdom of God is a theocracy. It's not a democracy. It is not a republic. We don't get a vote. Jesus is the king. And what the king says goes. So if the king says, I have healed you, what's the deal? I'm healed. Why? The king said so. Now, a theocracy, and the beauty of a theocracy is that now you have a relationship directly with the king, with God. That God has come, dwelled in each one of us, and now I can go to God directly. I can receive instruction from God. I can receive and hear what he has to say to me for my life. I don't need a go-between. Now, well then, where does that come in? I mean, after all, you're called to pastor this point. What does the pastor do? The pastor has authority from God not to dictate to people, not to do anything that's destructive to them. All authority that's been given to delegated authority is given to us to build you up. Whenever authority is not building you up, causing your relationship with God to grow, not relationship with me. My job is to cause your relationship to grow with Him. Amen? That's how God-given authority is to be used. It's not to be abused. Can you see that? Now, can a believer just make it on the theocracy only? It's just me and the Lord, me and the Lord, me and the Lord, me and the Lord. I don't need... No. God puts relationships in your life. He puts delegated authority in your life. But it's up to you in this theocracy to hear from God who it is. Amen? It's up to you to hear God say, this is where you're supposed to be. This is where I planted you. This is relationships I brought you. The only reason that God brings relationships in your life, one reason, no, it's not to give you a hard time. Well, you know, that's iron sharpens iron. No. Okay, you're dull already. See, the only reason He brings a relationship in our life is the same reason we have a relationship with Him, blessing. Blessing. That's the reason that we bless each other in the relationship. Well, I thought He did it, and He gave me my wife. I've heard it taught in marriage seminars and stuff. It is not correct. There's nothing in the Word that says that. I'm going to give you a wife, buddy, that's going to rub you wrong every day. I've heard some guys believe it and think it. Amen? No. The Lord gave you your wife as a blessing. And wives, believe it or not, He gave you your husband for the same reason. Well, He don't act like it all the time. Mercy. Grace. I'm going to treat myself as if I've never sinned, and I'm also going to treat Him that way. Whoops. I'm good with me. What? Whoa. You don't know how much I know about... There's the issue. Married couples know a lot about each other. My wife, who's put this all in the past and forgives me, if she was pressed on to tell you everything I've done wrong, she was there. But since I treat her as though she never sinned, she treats me as though I've never sinned, we're good. So, let me throw this in for your edification as well. If you treat each other as though you've never sinned, you never bring up history. Hello? You remember when you did that? You remember when you said this? That is not why. The only way that I can treat someone as though they never sinned is to do what God does, and He gives us the grace to do it and the power. Remember it no more. And God, by His power, the power of the Spirit, will literally wipe your memory of it. You allow Him to do that See, that's the goal of the forgiveness. Forgiving is not the goal in and of itself. The forgiveness is to have it wiped from your memory. Wiped from your memory, all pain is gone. Well, you don't understand. You know, God, and I've heard it preached and taught, God really hurts when you sin. He can't hurt. He don't remember it. How can you hurt on something that you have no memory of? The memory is powerful. That's why Jesus, when he did the Last Supper and instituted the communion, said, every time that you do this in remembrance of me. Amen. So what happens? There's a reconciliation. Oftentimes, say, will you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. 5 minutes later, you bring it up, what they did. Didn't forgive them. Because when you forgave them, you, and I believe that it should be said, Priscilla, I forgive you and I remember it no more. Okay, so I want to store up forgiveness is for me, and you remember it no more. All right, bank some of those. Because ain't nobody perfect but Jesus. Amen. Now, where do we want to get to? We want to get to the place where we receive what has been freely given. Which means I don't earn it. You don't earn a healing. You don't earn peace. You don't earn joy. You don't earn the grace of God. Because if you get to the place where you earn it, then God owes you. God owes nobody anything. Ever. But I've ministered to hundreds of people over the years who will come up and they have a need from God and they're in this place of prayer and I have a need for this. And what I don't understand. I've been an usher here for 15 years. Why won't God heal me? Well, understand this. As long as you have that attitude, you're not going to receive it freely. There's the issue, isn't it? Am I willing to receive freely? Or am I going to look at myself and say, well, I can't receive this freely because I didn't. I haven't. I can't receive freely today. I didn't pray for an hour this morning. The praying for an hour this morning has nothing to do with receiving freely. Whether you prayed the hour or you didn't pray the hour. For example, okay, has nothing to do with receiving freely. This brings me to the last point this morning to understand this, especially in the foundation of Word of Life and what we want as a foundation. The foundation of this church is a relationship with Jesus. Nothing else. Amen. And the foundation of this is receiving freely. Now, God always gives freely. You cannot bribe him. You cannot talk him into anything. You can't change his mind. However, giving freely. God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful is a willing heart to give. Well, is it possible to give and not give? Yeah, it is. Of necessity, grudgingly, by compulsion. See, if I come to you and I show you all the starving children in the world, they're dying, they're crying, they're in trouble. And brother, you got to do something for them. Are you being put in a position to give freely? No. You are being worked emotionally. So the moment that you get into this mode, I got to do something, you are now grudgingly necessity by compulsion. And much of the body of Christ, and we'll be coming out of this because God will take us out of this, has figured out that if I present the need enough to you, you'll give. Whether you want to or not. And what happens is you become need-oriented rather than obedience-oriented. It's not God's money anymore. You now, in your emotion, decide, rather than what? Jesus, you're the high priest. What do you want me to do with my money? Now, why am I mentioning money? Because money is the least. Before you have the true spiritual riches, if you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will entrust to you the true spiritual riches of the kingdom? What are the true spiritual riches of the kingdom? People. Jesus came freely and offered up his life for people, for souls, for us. God says every soul is worth all the money in the world. Each one. Put your finger right here and say, I am worth all the money in the world. Okay, now we're going to do it one more time and believe it. I am worth all the money in the world. That's how God sees it. So, what must we do in the area of building on a solid foundation, okay, of our relationship with Jesus and build on that foundation? You have to build in the area of your finances on Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Turn over to Matthew 7, last scripture. I told you last before, but I really meant second to the last. So, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, let me say this to you so you understand. Has anybody recognized the storms came? Amen. The snow came? Anybody saw that? Okay, it isn't if, it is when. And it came on everyone. See, the world has its own bunch of tribulation. But we can be subject to that tribulation even though we're in the body of Christ, because we're in the world, not of it. So when that comes, when that recession comes, when that economic downturn, when money fails, which it will, the good news, apparently, to most people is the president just signed for another year of debt. Up the debt ceiling. Well, come on. It does not take an economic professor or genius to figure out this has got to collapse at some point. How much debt can you handle in your life before it all comes caving in? And I've had blessed saints of God sit in front of me begging me for financial counseling at a certain point because they did not build on the rock. And all the wife was saying, make the phone stop ringing for the debt collectors. I just want it to go away. So we're talking about real stuff here. Don't you let anybody ever convince you that this Jesus is in the book, this is Jesus, is not relevant for today. It's working all the time. Amen. So, if I'm building on the rock, my relationship with Jesus is the foundation, then the first story of that building is, what is he saying? Isn't it? I've got to know what he's saying before I can build. Read it. Whoever hears, go back to 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, watch that. Everyone who what? Hears the saying of mine and does not do them will be likened a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, for those of you who have been down to Florida at all, that sand's not good. There is not a single house ever built in the state of Florida that I know of, and I've seen thousands of them. See, it's the covering, the carpet, the tile that covers the cracks in the foundation, the slab. No basements there. Dig down 3 feet, you hit water. Okay? So they pour a slab 6 inches thick. Every slab has cracks in it because it's building on sand in the sand. And so when a hurricane comes, it'll stand up because they do cement block, not frame. But the hurricane, when it comes, causes there to be cracks in the foundation. And what the rule of thumb is, you could stick your hand into the crack. Get out of the house. It's coming down. See? So for those of you who ever go to Florida to buy a new house, tell them I want to see it before you put the carpet in or the tile. Every driveway has cracks and faults in them. Every one. Your year down there, I bet you never saw a driveway that didn't have a crack. Why? Because it's built on sand. Well, what we don't want to happen to us is that there's cracks in our foundation. And some of the things I just mentioned to you this morning as foundational stuff. Your life, your building your life must be built on Jesus, the person of Jesus and your relationship with him, floor number one, by grace through faith. By grace through faith, not by hard work. Amen? By grace through what? Faith. For years and years in the body of Christ, the two have been separated at war with each other. I can't figure out why. You got people over here teaching faith only. You got people over here teaching grace only. But you don't have very many teaching the Word of God, the truth. by, because of God's grace, through faith, we're saved. Not of works that we should boast. Amen. I've spent 35 years learning Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. Still. Because God said, one of the reasons why I'm putting together, one of the reasons I have my body, the church, is so that in the ages to come, that He may lavish the riches of His grace upon us. So there's a lot more there. Amen? Can you see it? So the first thing that we want to do is we want to move from being carnal, reestablish that foundation with Jesus. This is what I'm building on. Lord, by Your grace, by Your Holy Spirit guiding, by Your Holy Spirit leading, guiding me into the truth, by Your Holy Spirit, there's no reason why any of us have to be deceived by anybody. Because You have the truth in You. You have the Spirit of truth in You. You have an unction from the Holy One that's in you, that you know all things. And one of the things I know, and I've many times, I know what I'm hearing in the Word. A lot of times. Sounded good. But wasn't the Word of God. I'll just touch on one real quick. We talked about it last night a little bit. There's nothing in the Word of God that talks about us surrendering. You need to surrender to God. Hey, I'm not at war with Him. Amen? And certainly, God has never been at war with us. Even before you received Him as Lord and Savior. So how in the world can surrendering have anything to do with my relationship with Him? It can't. I make decisions. Lord, I want Your will to be done in my life. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this morning, and I thank You, Lord, that we can have the Holy Spirit to check our foundation. And I pray right now, Lord, that You check each of our foundations right now, that we're building wisely, that we understand we're in a relationship with You, in this theocratic government, that we can hear from You. We can be guided by You. We can be instructed by You. And I thank You, Lord, for that. And Lord, right now, I thank You for exposing cracks that may be in our foundation and fixing those, causing that foundation to be strong. Lord, I pray right now for the last instruction that You gave to anyone here that they heard and have not yet acted upon. Bring that to remembrance. I thank You, Lord, for it. I thank You, Lord, that You have given us the grace to follow your instruction and to build on the rock so that we can never be blown away. We can never yield to destruction. We never, ever, does any trial, any tribulation, any attack, anything. Amen. So this coming week, let me exhort you. Lord, show me what you've freely given. Show me what you've freely given. Show me what you've freely given. Amen. Because it's all by grace. All by grace. And the most important thing is that you understand that what God is looking for are hearts that are freely willing to give. Freely willing to love Him. You better do what God says. That ain't God. That's man's wisdom. But it's for your own good. The end does not justify the means. Not in the kingdom of God. Amen.